cover your ears. It sounds just like the 4th of July. People killing people all these years. Baptist Town.
Baptist Town itself, it's a concept album, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And why? What's going on here? Why are you so interested in this?
Well, for me, you know, Alan Lomax really kind of opened my eyes to the whole thing. You know, when I started, you know, getting into his recordings, his field recordings and stuff, if you get into it, you get into it deep, you start seeing, you know, the music that was from the Georgia Sea Islands and you know, the fife and drum stuff and how that all got brought over from the slaves. And then the traditions of, you know, Haitian voodoo and stuff like that and how that still is, you know, prevalent in the South. For me, it just intrigued me, you know, and then the whole Robert Johnson side of things. Like the first time I went down there, I just went down to Tupelo, Mississippi, you know, and it was like, oh, okay, well, this is kind of cool. And then on that same trip, I went from Tupelo, I took rural Route 6. I drove across Mississippi, straight across Mississippi, and that lands in Clarksdale. And then I went to Cahoma, and then I went to Friars Point. And just being down there for that short time, I was like, wow, this is really, really cool. And that kind of grabbed me.
Nobody cares about Baptist Town. The river flows heavy with hate.
The more I dug into it and the more that I started getting into the folklore and the history and stuff like that, you know, and the prisons and the prison work songs and, you know, the field hollers and all that stuff, that music has always done something to me, and gospel.
The kids are running scared down in Baptist Town. The bullets whiz by in the night.
Somebody's Been Running is a song that really jumps out at me. It sounds like maybe even a prison chain gang or a funeral march or something.
Well, it's kind of a field holler or a work song.
Okay.
What they would do is they would go out in the fields to pick cotton or, you know, pick vegetables or whatever it was. And one guy would start and he would say, you know, somebody been running for a long time. And then the rest of the people would answer back, somebody been running all, you know, but I mean, not that song, but songs like that. And I have hours of that stuff from Alan Lomax. And I was just like, this is, you know, I want to do more of this stuff and get people to be exposed to it today that, you know, they wouldn't normally do, you know.
Somebody been running for a long time. Somebody been running on. Somebody been running for a long time. Somebody been running on.
Well, the songs on the album itself, are you writing about actual people, a little bit about yourself, or maybe are they composites of a bunch of people?
It's funny because, like, when I go and do this stuff, I call them soul cleanses, and I go down to Mississippi, and I meet people, and I just start hearing stories and writing about them and everything. And like Black Annie, you know, it's funny because there was a review the other day, and they said, you know, he's writing about really interesting characters like Black Annie. Well, Black Annie isn't a girl. Black Annie is a whip at Mississippi State Penitentiary. They used to beat the prisoners with when they got out of line. It was really a brutal thing because it would cut them. It wouldn't just leave a welt. It would actually cut into their skin and open them up. And this last trip, I went 2 weeks ago, and I was at Red's Lounge, and I'm sitting there watching a band, and this guy's sitting next to me, and we start talking. The more we talked, he said, I'm in the correctional institution. He goes, I work at Mississippi State Penitentiary. And I lost it. I mean, I lost it. This was like, oh my gosh, you know? And so the guy he was sitting next to was a former warden of Mississippi State Penitentiary. So I sat with these guys and I told them about Black Annie, the song, and they both looked at me and they just shook their head. And they couldn't believe that this guy was telling them about this.
Don't need Black Annie, well, that girl gonna hurt way too bad. I gotta get me off this farm. Black Annie gonna drive me mad.
$100 Bill is a real up-tempo song on the album, but it too has some dark undertones to it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the whole album, John, and this is really what I wanted to present to everybody. The album, you know, there's gospel stuff on it, but $100 Bill is not a gospel song. $100 Bill is about going out and getting ruined and causing a lot of problems, you know, and just kind of giving in to that side of us. You know, we all have that side. There's a side that's really sweet, and then there's a side that's really bad. And I think for Baptist Town, my goal was to really write about both.
Well, she threw me out because I got a little drunk. Jumped in the Cadillac, get darn it drunk. Heading over to Red's to drink my beer. Feel the messed up plan in a $100 bill. A messed up plan in a $100 bill.
Baptist Town is a real town, or is a real place.
It's a neighborhood. I was just there 2 weeks ago. It's in Greenwood. But you go across these railroad tracks, and the Yazoo River's right there. So if you're in Greenwood, there's like these mansions that'll blow your mind. And then you go a mile over the railroad tracks, and it's slave shacks that are hundreds of years old that people still live there. And they don't have a lot going on. It's about four blocks. You know, it's like 90% unemployment, and they're just really poor. But they're the sweetest people, some of the sweetest people I've ever met in my life.
And it has a racial component to it as well, I would guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's the frustrating part, where it's like you go across the railroad tracks and, you know, there's all this opulence and stuff like this. And then you go into Baptist Town, it's the polar opposite. And so what my frustration is that how do we as Americans, when this stuff happens, how do we embrace that? How do we sit there and go, here's a neighborhood where one of the most significant forces in American music lived and died, and nobody is doing anything about that. You know, they have a plywood sign up there. They got a plaque from the Blues Highway stuff up there. But where's the, hey, let's go in here and let's take these houses. These are these old shotgun houses, right? And they're, you know, they're falling apart. And so what they do is they tear them down, and then they bring in FEMA trailers that have been converted to look like a shotgun house. The trailers are donated, the land is donated, and then they charge these people $38,000 to live in them. I look at it and I go, wait, I think there's a better way for that. The house that's on the cover, the people who own it live next door to it.
I'm looking at the cover right now, and it looks like one of those hip mini houses that you see out there today, except it's not hip and it's not new, and it doesn't look like a place you really want to live in.
No, and I'm sure that if you went inside, it would be pretty distressed, but for me, I would look at something like that and say, okay, so let me buy it, and then let me fix it up, and let me get people from the neighborhood to help me fix it up. Say you get a row of those, and then you turn them into, you know, not a bed and breakfast, but kind of like a place where it's just like tourists can come and they can actually stay there, you know?
But there's people living in these houses.
No, some of them are vacant. A lot of them are vacant.
Ah, okay.
Because they're just in such disrepair. But the city of Greenwood can easily go in and put together a program where it's like, okay, let's get volunteers from the city of Greenwood across the railroad tracks, the people who have money, to come into Baptist Town and mow the lawn and, you know, paint the houses, fix the foundation, and install a water heater. I've seen that happen in, like, Paramount, California, where I used to live. That's like 6 miles from Compton. I saw that happen. I saw it went down. And I saw gangs get pushed out. And, you know, families come in and actually, you know, the families who don't want to do that stuff, they start taking more pride in their community. And what's going on in Baptist Town right now is that I personally don't feel that there's a whole lot of pride in it. You know, the people who live there are prideful, but they also got to make a living. And so they're going to hustle. They're going to do whatever they got to do.
Of all the originals you've got on here, you covered a Beatles song as well. Why did you cover Can't Buy Me Love?
I would listen to that song, and it was always so happy and cheerful. But when you look at the lyrics, it's kind of a different thing. To me, I saw something different in that song. And on 61 and 49, we recorded it, and it sounded okay, but it didn't really fit. It didn't really work for us. And then when I was writing the songs for Baptist Town, I was like, I'm going to go back and look at this. And that song kind of popped up. So we recorded it at Sun, and it was just like, yeah, this is cool. There is a dark aspect about this song that I want to kind of exploit and go at it, you know?
Mike Aldred, it's great to talk with you. It's a wonderful album. Baptist Town is the name of the album. Congratulations on this fantastic release.
Well, I really appreciate it. I just hope that more people listen to it and more people are exposed to that and kind of dig in deep.
Because I don't care too much for me.